Well, let's continue now on Satan's plan to rule the world, and then tell you what we ought to be doing about it. Here we are caught in the middle of this battlefield with the devil fighting God. What should we do about it? Okay, some practical steps coming up soon. What should we do? Lucifer is the one who weakens the nations. He fell from heaven and thought he wanted to be God. The Bible says he transforms himself into an angel of light. He wants you to think, I'm here to help you. I'm a good guy. And he took Jesus up onto a high mountain, remember in Matthew chapter 4? And he showed him all the kingdoms of the world. He said, I'll give you these kingdoms if you fall down and worship me. He always promises things he really can't give. Jesus already owns the whole world. But Satan says, you follow me and I'll give you something. He told Eve, you can receive extra knowledge, extra wisdom. Ye shall be as gods. He's always promising these kind of things. And Jesus answered and said, it is written. Every time Jesus says, it is written, that was his answer to Satan. It is written. I think we'd be wise to memorize God's word. So when the devil comes to tempt us, we can say, ah, it is written. Soak your brain in the Bible. Okay, what about this new world order? How do the kids view the world? Who owns this world anyway? If a kid goes to school 12 years in your school system, how will he view the world? Will he look at it as something that he's a parasite on the world? Does the kid think, wow, I'm polluting the atmosphere. I'm polluting the world. Every time I buy plastic, I'm destroying the world. Does he feel bad? Does he feel like he's a nuisance to the world? Satan's been trying for 6,000 years to destroy humanity. Jacques Cousteau said we need to eliminate 350,000 people a day. Ted Turner said we need to get rid of 95% of the population. Georgia Guidestones in 1980 were set up. They give the Ten Commandments for the New Age. Masonic Lodge set these up in Georgia. Commandment number one was on the Georgia Guidestones. You can see, get pictures of them, radioliberty.com. Commandment number one, maintain humanity under 500,000. That's a half a billion. That's a 95% decline. They've been hanging around Ted Turner or Jacques Cousteau. All these Ten Commandments, we don't take time to read them all, but the last one was, be not a cancer on the earth. Leave room for nature. Leave room for nature. David Foreman said, we must make this an insecure and inhospitable place for capitalists and their projects. We must reclaim the roads and plowed land, halt dam construction, tear down existing dams, free shackled rivers, return to wilderness millions and tens of millions of acres of presently settled land. Oh, okay, David, let's start with your house. Let's tear that down. Let's start right there. Prince Philip said, if I could be reincarnated, I would wish to return to Earth as a killer virus to lower human population levels. You might want to get the book Emerging Viruses or the video by Len Horowitz, or get on this website, tetrahedron.org, or you might want to get my videotape, The Bible and Health, before you make any decisions on vaccinations. Just might want to watch those, folks. Just give yourself another opinion. Or about the viruses that are being put in. Did you know during the Gulf War, less than 300 Americans died in battle? There have been 30,000 that have died since then of Gulf War illness. 30,000. You got the articles on the table down there. See, these New World Order folks have plans to reduce the population by May 5th of the year 2000. I hope they don't make their goal, but that's what the goal is to get rid of most of the people. Population, they would like to go from about 6 billion down to 1.5 billion very soon. All kinds of strange things are happening in America. I'm going to try to put it in perspective here in a minute. But foreign military equipment is being brought into America and painted UN white. Timothy Worth, senator from Colorado, said, we must ride the global warming issue. Even if the theory is wrong, we will be doing the right thing in terms of economic policy and environmental policy. See, the purpose of the environmental movement is to establish control over the people. Strange things are going on. They banned DDT, not because it was necessarily bad, but because it was a great way to help population control. Peter Singer said, we read this before, Christianity is our foe. We have to destroy the Christian tradition. Isn't our only hope for the planet that the industrialized civilizations collapse? Isn't it our responsibility to bring that about? Now, wait a minute. At the summit in Rio de Janeiro, didn't some of our bigwig leaders go down there to that summit and voice their support for the Earth Summit in 1992? See, if evolution is true, it's a philosophy, it's a way of thinking. If that theory is true, inferiors should be eliminated for the good of the species. You know, you have to call the herd. If that theory is true, one of the races of humans must be superior to the rest. If that theory is true, there are no absolutes. One professor told me, I was in a debate at the university, he said, there are no absolutes. I said, sir, are you absolutely sure? Hey, if there are no absolutes, how do you decide what's right and wrong? I spoke at a school not far from here in Pennsylvania at a public school several years ago. I had a kid, public school, 300 kids in the room. He sat on the second row. He said, Mr. Hovind, I'm an atheist. I said, really? He was in Westchester. How far is that from 100 miles? About an hour away. He said, Mr. Hovind, I'm an atheist. I said, really? He said, yep, there is no God. I said, are you sure? He said, oh, I'm sure. I said, well, tell me, son, do you know everything? He said, well, no. I said, well, do you know half of everything? He said, no. I said, well, let's just pretend for a few minutes that you know half of everything. Is it possible that God exists in the other half you don't know? You can see the wheels turning just a little bit in there. I said, by the way, son, if you're an atheist, how do you decide what's right and wrong? He said, oh, that's easy. I decide what's right and wrong. He said, I'm the God of my own universe. I said, well, I'm glad to hear about that, son, because I'm going to shoot you in 5 minutes. He said, oh, you can't do that. I said, oh, yes, I can. I'm the God of my own universe. And I decided it's fine for me to shoot you. Hey, you see where that logic would go in a hurry? Is there an absolute standard someplace? How do you decide what's right and wrong? Folks, if evolution is true, there is no way to decide. Every man will do that which was right in his own eyes, like happened in the book of Judges. We got a problem, folks. You tell a little kid, tell the kids, hey, kid, don't do that. That's wrong. First question he says, oh yeah? Says who? Right? Now, the founding fathers that started our country believed, thus saith the Lord. That's who. But what if there is no Lord? What if the Bible is not true? And what if there is no creator? How do you decide what's right and wrong? Before you get into a discussion on moral issues, you better ask them the question, how do you make your decisions? If somebody says, I believe in evolution, well then, what reason do they have to not lie, or cheat, or steal, or murder? Not that all evolutionists do those things, but why wouldn't they? Why wouldn't they? What's to prevent them from doing those things? John Bunyan believed his rights came from God. John Bunyan was pastor of a church running about 1,000 in England. The government passed a law that said you have to have a state license to run your church. I believe I have the story correct here. John Bunyan said, hey, I can't take that license. God told me to do this church, not the government. And if I get your permission to do what God already told me to do, then I'm putting God under the government. Can't do that. They said, John, you're going to have to go to jail if you won't get a license. He said, well, okay, I'm not getting the license. They took him to jail, set the license by the door, left the door unlocked. Said, John, take the license, sign it, you're a free man. He stayed there in that Bedford County jail for 13 years. Refused to take the license. It rotted away 4 times. While he laid there, he took the pieces of scraps of paper that came on top of the milk cartons from the sour milk they gave to the prisoners, cleaned off the paper, took the soot off the wall and a straw from his bed, and he scratched the soot off the wall and began to write on those papers. For 13 years, he wrote and wrote and wrote on those little papers. Finally ended up being a pretty good book. Pilgrim's Progress. Written in jail. When they finally hauled him out of the jail 13 years later, he was too weak to walk. He lost his health. He lost his church. They carried him out of the jail, and he said to the jailer, "See, I told you I wouldn't take that license." See, you got to just get it decided in your head, folks. God is supreme, and there's some things you just won't do. What if it comes down to where they say you have to receive this little chip in your hand or in your forehead or you don't get any food? I mean, just what if? How big is your God anyway? Everett Sylvan was pastor of a church in Nebraska, and he was a little bit of a rabble-rouser anyway. But Nebraska passed a law that says you can't have a church without Nebraska's permission. Sylvan said, "Forget it. We've had a church, and we're going to have a church, and we're not going to get a permit or a license to have a church." He refused. They came and handcuffed him and dragged him out of the pulpit while he was preaching, shoved all his people out the door, and padlocked the door to the church. The senator from Nebraska, who hated Sylvan, got on the radio program with Sylvan's attorney. They were having a discussion on the radio. The senator from Nebraska said, "These fundamentalist parents have no right to indoctrinate their children in their beliefs. We are preparing their children for the year 2000 and life in a global one-world society, and those children will not fit in." "Excuse me, Senator, you are preparing my children for something?" "You don't seem to understand, sir. Those children belong to God, and they are entrusted to me. Not you." Southwick, Massachusetts has this poster up for the kids in their elementary school. "I pledge allegiance to the earth, which I do love and depend on, and to all life on land, air, and sea, which is as much a part of earth as me." Folks, I would challenge you to go to your public school and just slowly walk the halls and walk through the classrooms and just see what you see. Start reading some of the books. Go see if they've got the book Heather Has Two Mommies about two lesbians raising children. Just go see, folks. It's past time to get your kids out. Now, Christian schools aren't perfect. You know that. But rather, it's time to get them out. There's been all sorts of attempts at a new world order. And what they're doing now, they're bringing all sorts of military equipment into America, spreading it all over the place, United Nations equipment. What do we need all that stuff here for? Why do they have portable detention camps in Fort Dix, New Jersey? I want to get on the website, www.sightings.com or tachymarks.freeservers.com. And just, you'd be surprised some of the things that have been seen in this country. I think maybe they're getting ready to do what Lenin did. One person with a gun is going to control everybody without one. Gulfport, Mississippi, 100 miles from my house, they have Soviet-made biological warfare cleanup trucks sitting on Highway 45 north of Gulfport, Mississippi. Excuse me, why do you need Soviet-made biological warfare cleanup trucks? Why would you need any biological warfare cleanup truck? To clean up from a biological war, right? One guy stopped and asked the guy who's taking care of this property, he said, "Why do you have all these Soviet-made trucks over here?" He said, "We're bringing them over to paint them, and we're going to send them back." Well, if you're dumb enough to believe that, I got some property I want to sell you off the coast of Florida. Why don't we send them a gallon of paint instead? It'd be a lot cheaper. Spend $10,000 to bring a truck across the ocean, paint it, and $10,000 to send it back? I don't think so. But you know, there are some people who are getting kind of nervous, thinking that probably some of these New World Order folks are going to use biological warfare to reduce the population to a half a billion. See, biological warfare kills all the people, but it doesn't knock the buildings down. Atomic bombs kills the people, but it ruins the real estate too. They've got viruses now that can kill all the people, and 4 or 5 days later, the virus dies, and you go in and pick up the dead bodies, and You got your world. You might want to get youthofamerica.com website, or call Gary Fry, a good friend of mine. He speaks on the topic of the New World Order, like I speak on dinosaurs and creation. All sorts of things are going on. UN military stuff being brought all over the place. Foreign troops are being trained in America in house-to-house seizures. How many have heard of those kind of things before, where they just rappel down in the middle of the night into a village and crash the doors down and practice arresting all the citizens? Wow, interesting. Why do we have Soviet missiles over here? You can come to Pensacola, Florida, stand by Interstate 10, and once in a while you'll see Soviet-made tanks on trucks going back and forth across Interstate 10. What's going on here, folks? Well, they're making their plans for a new world order. You've seen those lines in the highway? You've seen those before? Not just at stoplights. I mean in the middle of the highway. Nowhere near a stoplight. I called the guy who's putting them in Florida. He said, oh yeah, we got a contract to put thousands of these things in the interstate system. I said, well, explain it to me, would you please? He said, well, we take the saw, we cut the grooves in the highway, and we put three number 14 wires in there, and we run them over to a box at the side of the highway. And in that box at the side of the highway, we can put a computer in there, and we can tell how fast the cars are going, how many cars go by per day, or per week, or per hour, or whatever. We can do traffic control with these computers. I said, well, sir, did you know, with your three number 14 wires buried in the blacktop there, you can also put a box in that little box off to the side that generates an energy burst and destroys the electronic ignition in any car that passes over. He said, oh, I didn't know that. Oh, you can. Now, why would anybody want to shut down electronic ignition vehicles? Kind of makes you wonder, doesn't it? Have you seen these cameras going up all over the place on top of streetlights? I wonder who's watching and why. What are they watching for? Folks, world events are frightening. It's baffling. I think we're headed for a new world order with Satan in charge. You might want to read this book, The Conspiracy. If you don't believe there's a conspiracy, just read it. I just challenge you. Just read it with an open mind. I read tons on the subject. John Birch Society put this out. This symbol, though, on the back of our dollar bill has got some interesting words around it. Terry Cook says that it says in Latin, announcing the birth of the new world order without God. Now, the pyramid's an interesting structure. Man, I like studying the pyramid, and you can go off a bunch of rabbit trails on this, but the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 19, there's going to be an altar to the Lord in the midst of the land of Egypt, and a pillar at the border thereof. People have wondered, how can something be at the middle and at the border at the same time? Well, Egypt had two kingdoms, and the pyramid is right on the border of when it used to be two kingdoms. When the kingdoms got together, it became right in the middle. So the pyramid is both at the border and in the middle. Some people think the Great Pyramid is actually a structure designed to teach people about the Lord. Now, I've heard arguments back and forth on this, but there's a good book by Noah Hutchings on that from Southwest Radio Church, which is tremendous. The Great Pyramid, not the little pyramids, but the Great Pyramid, had 144,000 casing stones, smooth, polished, fit together. Oh, the whole body fitly joined together. 144,000 in the book of Revelation. Interesting. If you walked in the pyramid to the door, you walk in the door, you go take the broad way, it leads down to the pit. Or you can take the narrow way that goes up to the king's chamber. If you go to the king's chamber, you find yourself on the 50th row of stones. 50, the year of Jubilee. And there's an empty tomb. The top of the pyramid was never put in place. The chief cornerstone was rejected by the builders. Matthew 21 talks about the stone which the builders rejected has become the head of the corner. Mark chapter 12 talks about the stone which the builders rejected. Luke chapter 20, the stone which the builders rejected, the head of the corner. Daniel talks about the stone cut out of the mountain without hands that smote the image on the feet. I think Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone. But Satan used that pyramid and the symbol on the back of the dollar bill with the all-seeing eye representing Lucifer, the enlightened one. He thinks he's going to establish a new world order. Boy, is he in for a surprise. Jesus Christ is going to come set up his new world order. But a lot of these super rich folks have designed crises in order to accomplish their goals. You create a problem so that you can come in and accomplish what you want to accomplish. I had some missionaries at my house last week from the Philippines. They've been there for 25 years, I believe. They said Marcos used to go in and blow up buildings purposely just so he would have an excuse to keep martial law in place. His guys would blow up their own buildings and blame it on the communists and say, wow, we need to have martial law. That's going on in America, I think, folks. People surrender their freedoms when there's problems. The 1929 depression was purposely created so that people would be starving. So they would come in, line up to receive a Social Security number. I don't have one, by the way. And you don't have to have one either if you don't want. 1929 depression. The Cuban Missile Crisis was purposely created to accomplish a goal. See, the Soviets wanted a military base in Cuba to watch the United States. So they took two steps forward. They brought in a military base and missiles. Then they backed up one step, took the missiles out, we think, and they left the base. Two steps forward, one step back. Works every time. People think they retreated. No, they're closer to the goal. Oklahoma City bombing was deliberately done. I got a videotape for 2 hours on that. Deliberately done to make the militia look bad. Now, I'm not part of a militia. I'm just saying that building was not blown up by that truck bomb in the street. I've got the news footage from the next morning, or the day it happened. You can watch as the cameramen are standing there. People are running out of the building, and they're saying, we found bomb number two. Here's bomb number three. Here's bomb number four. I think they found six bombs in the building that did not go off. Quite a few did go off, and that's what sheared the pillars. A truck bomb in the street's going to blow the walls out, but it won't shear those pillars off. You notice how quick they tore that building down, moved it out to a dump, and then posted an armed guard on the dump where the building is buried? Why would you guard a dump? I think they're afraid somebody might go in there and discover those pillars were sheared off with C4 plastic explosives. That building was deliberately blown down. The flight TWA was deliberately shot down. French Landsat satellite got a picture of a missile going right toward it. Didn't catch that on CNN, did you? Maybe it's because there were three people on that plane going to England to testify against Bill Clinton. It just could be. I mean, I don't know. Ought to investigate it anyway. See, the president can now use an act of terrorism. An airplane got blown up. Wow, tighten security at the airport. No, just hold on a minute. Are they using terrorism as an excuse for more government control? Well, I think possibly so. See, if you establish martial law, you abolish the Constitution. Presidents can now rule by executive order. They bypass Congress. There have been over 13,000 executive orders since Roosevelt. These super rich folks have plans to get a new world order. And here's how they're going to do it. They want their one world government with Lucifer in charge. They've been waiting a long time for this. The Bible says in the last days, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. In 1933, Roosevelt declared to Congress that the Congress of Governors, he said, we have a national state of emergency because of the Depression. The governor said, you're right, we need to give the president extra power to overcome the economic enemy. The governors voted unanimously to recommend to the Congress that broad executive powers be granted to the president to wage war on the economic enemy. These powers would not be available under normal constitutional process. So in 1933, Congress voted to give the President of the United States and to the Secretary of the Treasury the emergency powers to wage war through executive orders. Huh. So as long as there's a war going on, they can govern with executive orders. That's why the President frequently says, I declare a war on poverty, a war on drugs. Folks, most people don't catch what he's saying. What he's saying is, I declare war. Doesn't matter what the war is on. If he's declaring war, then we're still under executive orders. Constitution is null and void. All this was codified in 12 U.S.C., Section 95 A and B. Section B of the Trading with the Enemy Act of 1917 was amended to include citizens of the United States by and through their ability to own gold and silver as an enemy of the United States. 1933, the citizens became the economic enemy of the United States. That's why Roosevelt called in the gold. Long story behind this, folks. Here's some of the executive orders that have been passed now. These are in effect right now. In case of emergency, like maybe Y2K, if it creates an emergency, even if it wouldn't have normally created an emergency, the government can pull a few strings and make sure it does create an emergency, just so these orders go into effect. I have Christians tell me, man, I'm saving up food, I'm saving up water, I'm saving up money. Watch what happens. In case of emergency, the federal government can seize all communications media. They can seize all electric, power, fuels, minerals, public and private. They'll come into your house and get your gas can. How are you going to run that generator? Federal seizure of all food supplies. You saving up 6 months for Y2K? They don't mind. Save up all you'd like. It's less money they got to spend. Seize all farms and equipment. Seize all means of transportation. In case of an emergency, the federal government has the authority to come take away your cars and your bicycles and your skateboard. Federal seizure of all American people for workforces. Seize all health, education, welfare facilities. This school can belong to the government. They'll come take away the school. Empowers the Postmaster General to register all men, women, and children. Seize all airports, public and private. Forced relocation, just like Hitler did. Force everybody off to make them live where you want them to live. Executive Order 11005, seize all railways, inland waterways, and storage facilities, public and private. Executive Order 11051 says FEMA, Federal Emergency Management Act, FEMA will have complete authority to put all these orders into practice. FEMA is the group to watch, folks. I was at a church a few weeks ago. A guy came to me and said, Brother Hovind, I drive a bulldozer cleaning up hurricane damage. He said, I was at when Andrew hit down in South Florida. FEMA came in, and FEMA was in charge of the cleanup, Federal Emergency Management. We had an emergency. We had a hurricane. He said, I was driving the bulldozer, trying to push all these dead trees and knock down trees out of the way. I accidentally knocked some tree branches into this guy's swimming pool. I couldn't see the pool. I was just pushing this big pile of tree limbs, and some of them fell in this guy's pool. This man came running out of the house, screaming and cussing at me for pushing those tree limbs into his pool. But the FEMA officer walked over and told the homeowner, he said, sir, I'm from FEMA. We're in charge here. You get back in your house. Because if I tell this man to drive that bulldozer through your house, he'll do it. That's the story the guy told me. So who's doing all this and why? Why do they want to control the world anyway? Well, Satan has deceived all sorts of people into thinking there should be a new world order. The United Nations is definitely part of it. The Council of Churches, World Council of Churches. And if you go to a church that's part of the World Council of Churches or the American Council of Churches, you ought to get out of that church and get yourself into a real church that believes the Bible. The Council of Foreign Relations, CFR, the Trilateral Commission, the Bilderbergers, the IMF. I read lots of books on this. We can talk for months if you'd like. But folks, there's a bigger battle I want you to see. It doesn't matter what the devil's doing. I want you to see what God's doing and get busy doing his bidding. See, the disciples didn't sit around wondering what the Roman Empire was doing. They didn't care what the Roman Empire did. The disciples didn't get together and say, oh, did you hear they brought in 10,000 new soldiers to Bethlehem? Oh, well, so, let's go win them to the Lord. We got a lot of Christians who are paranoid about the wrong thing. The communists, the socialists, the National Education Association, the National Organization for Wild Women, the American Communist Lawyers Union, the Masonic Lodge. Here's where somebody walks out every time. You say, what's wrong with the Masons? Folks, you better read that stuff about the Masons. Did you know, later the Masonic Lodge said, the Masonic religion should be, by all of us initiates of the highest degrees, maintained in the purity of the Luciferian doctrine. You won't know till you get to the top that you're worshiping Lucifer. I want to read this book, Scarlet and the Beast. If you really are honest and would like to know about the Masonic Lodge, I have good friends that are Masons. A guy from my church came to me just last week, said, Mr. Hovind, I've been in the Masons for years. He said, I don't feel right about this. Can we talk about it? We talked for an hour. He said, I'm getting out. I gave him these books to read. He came back and said, man, this one right here. He said, I read that book. He said, I'd have got out years ago if I'd have known the stuff in that book. Now, the average guy in the Masonic Lodge doesn't know what he's in, honestly. He thinks he's in a do-gooder's club. Now, the average guy in the Masonic Lodge doesn't know what he's in, honestly. He thinks he's in a do-gooder's club. And when someone comes along and says it's a satanic organization, he will get mad. Because he really thinks he's in a do-gooder's club. He hasn't seen the real truth about it yet. They won't reveal the real truth about that until you get to the top. But stop and think. When you joined that lodge, you took an oath. You had to memorize that oath. Go back and think about that. Things that you swore. I want them to tie me out at low tide where the tide ebbs and flows twice a day. You know, cut me open and, you know, slit my throat from ear to ear. And think about the swearing they did. My Bible says, swear not at all. Above all things, brethren, swear not. Jesus said, I've done nothing in secret. Why do they have the secret clubs and the secret handshake and the secret stance and, you know, stand like this when you're in distress, make sure the judge lets you off, you know, or lets the police officer let you off? The distress sign. Why do they do all those things? You don't have to do anything in secret. And if you want to serve God, go serve God. So these satanic groups had to take certain dates as real serious. They're real superstitious. February 2nd, which happens to be the 33rd day of the year, and 33 is divisible into 66, which is part of 666. On the 33rd day of the year, February 2nd, is what we call Groundhog Day. That's actually the first satanic holiday. Interesting. That's the day Roosevelt passed the War Powers Act. 1933, Roosevelt ordered the gold turned back in. 1933. Interesting. Rockefeller sent money to set Adolf Hitler up in Germany in 1933. That symbol was put on the back of your dollar bill ordered to be put on in 1933. Two 33rd degree Masons named Laurel and Hardy made a movie called Sons of the Desert. Study the Masonic symbols and go back and watch that movie. Our occult vice president in 1933 ordered the Great Seal put on the dollar bill. 1933, the Universal Declaration of Human Rights was signed. 1933, the first Humanist Manifesto was signed. Lots of things happened in 33. And in 66, a lot of things happened, like HUD, I believe, and many major government agencies were developed in 1966. Well, 1999 is the next one. Divisible by three. I wonder what they're going to try in 99. There's all sorts of good books you can read about the New World Order. And I recommend you read these. But I don't want you to get nervous, folks. I want you to see this from a different perspective in just a second. There's a group called Mondex. Major company now. That's going to be the one enforcing the buying and selling with the mark. Mondex comes from monetary and dexter. Webster's Dictionary defines monetary as pertaining to money, dexter as belonging to or located on the right hand. I wonder why they named their company Mondex. Money pertaining to the right hand. What on earth could they be talking about here? Interesting, huh? MasterCard has 51% ownership of Mondex. This is the final stage in becoming a global reality, said Robin Kelly of Mondex International. With MasterCard's backing, there is nothing to stop Mondex now from becoming the global standard. I want you to watch, folks, for the smart cards. They use what is called the SET protocols. Now, they picked that name purposely, SET, S-E-T. They're going to tell you it stands for Secure Electronic Transaction. That's called the SET mark. You can do a transaction and it'll be secure. What they don't tell you is Set is the Egyptian god of evil or Satan. They picked those letters on purpose. Mondex USA and AT&T purchased the franchise for Mondex USA. Lucent Technologies used to be called Lucifer's Technologies or Lucifer's Trust. They changed it to Lucent because everybody was obvious what Lucifer was, but people didn't catch what Lucent was. Their symbol was the solar serpent, the red circle. Looks like it's painted with a paintbrush, you know, kind of a weird-looking circle. Lucent Technologies. Look on your AT&T telephone and you'll see one. Lucent is compounded from Lucifer Enterprises. They seem to be quite flagrant in naming their products. Some of the products put out by Lucent Technologies would be Styx, named after the river in Hades, Janus, named after the two-faced god, Inferno. They deliberately moved their company to 666 Fifth Avenue in Manhattan. Now that's kind of interesting. Now why would they do that? You might want to get a hold of Terry Cook or get a hold of Carl Sanders, a good friend of mine. Carl Sanders lives in Pensacola, Florida. He helped develop the little microchip. He travels all over and speaks on the microchip. He said, folks, I helped make it. I've got two of the chips at home. They've got those little microchips. You can get them put in your cat or dog. How many know what I'm talking about, those little chips? But you know, they can get that chip injected into your hand, and you can be tracked via satellite in case you get shot down and you're a pilot. They can find you. You can get those little microchips put into your car, and if your car gets stolen, you report it, beep, 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 and the satellites find your car within 2 feet. How many have heard of that before? You know, 10 years ago, it wasn't possible for the Mark of the Beast prophecy to be fulfilled. Today, it's possible. Who would have thought you could have to get a mark in your hand or forehead to receive or buy or sell anything? How can one person control all the finances of the world with a computer? It's going to be interesting, isn't it? But these folks are making their plans for a new world order. They're serious. But God's laughing about it. Folks, when you get all nervous about the new world order, what's going to happen? Brother Hovind, is Y2K going to be the end of the civilization? Oh, I don't know. I think it's going to be the end of our fancy lifestyle we've lived for a while. Might bring us back down to reality like the rest of the world. You might lose your phone and your electricity. No hot water? Well, yeah, if you hold a match under it for a long time, you can have hot water. Psalm chapter 2 is what I read. It's a great tranquilizer. When I read books about the New World Order, and I hear all the people send me emails and stuff from all over the country about things that they see going on. Prison camps being built around Atlanta, Georgia. 31 of them, I believe, now. Totally empty. Empty prison camps waiting for somebody. About the Indianapolis, you know, where they're supposed to reupholster the Amtrak trains. Right. You pull in there and it's marked, there used to be signs, you know, the red zone, the blue zone, the yellow zone for men, women, and children. Bring the train in, unload them, separate them, just like Hitler did. I've seen a lot of that stuff and read a lot of that stuff, but folks, look, you don't need to get nervous. I'm going to tell you what you ought to be doing. Psalms chapter 2. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, the rulers take counsel together against the Lord, against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. God is up in heaven laughing about these guys planning for a new world order. God's saying, you guys think you're going to rule the world, huh? Ha, ha. Boy, have I got a surprise for you. But in the meantime, they are serious and they're still plugging away. And we're going to get to see some horrible times come. The Bible says, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world. There's tribulation coming, folks. Jesus said, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Let me ask you a question, Christian. Do you have peace in the world, or do you have peace in Christ? Most Americans have had peace in the world for a long time. And I think we're going to get a little upset when we lose our peace in the world. Our peace is supposed to be in Christ. Verily, when we were with you, we told you before that ye should suffer tribulation. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. But till finally the devil is cast into hell. He loses in the end. He deceived the whole world. But in the meantime, he's a powerful foe. Who was able to make war with him? Hosea said, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." Then it says in Romans that the wrath of God is poured out. See, tribulation is what the world does to us. The people that had a machine called a tribulum, if I understand this right, the tribulum was kind of a big paddle that they would beat on the wheat with. They'd harvest the wheat, put it in a pile, and they'd beat on it. The tribulum would break the wheat loose from the chaff. After they beat on it with the tribulum, which is where the word tribulation comes from, they would throw it up in the air, and the wind would blow the chaff away, and the wheat would settle back down. You have to separate the chaff from the wheat, you know. But first you got to beat on it. You got to go through tribulation to separate the chaff from the wheat. Now, we're not appointed under wrath, but I think we are going to see some hard times. I have Christians tell me, "Well, we're going to get raptured out of here before the tribulation." Well, why don't you tell that to the Chinese and Russian Christians? Tell that to the Egyptian Christians that are getting killed right now, the Coptic Christians. Now, look, I'm pretty pre-trib rapture in my philosophy, too. Folks, I don't think our idea of tribulation and God's idea of tribulation are the same. Our idea of tribulation is, "Well, he slammed the door in my face." Go back and read Fox's Book of Martyrs. The Bible says the wrath of God is for the children of disobedience. We shall be saved from wrath through him. Folks, I think it's time to get motivated. Time to get busy. Find something to do. Okay, what should we do? What on earth is happening, and what should we do about it? We got to hurry. Deuteronomy, they said, "I want you to take wise men and understanding. Get people to understand. Give thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad." His wife was Abigail, and she was a woman of good understanding and a beautiful countenance. That don't hurt. Ezra, he said, I want you to give us men of understanding. 5 times in the book of Ezra, that phrase appears. They gave us a man of understanding. Well, we need some people who understand what to do. In 1 Chronicles chapter 12, the children of Issachar were men that had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. Preacher, if there's anything America needs, we need pastors who understand what's going on and who can tell their people what to do. Pastors to stand in the pulpit and preach the Word of God and tell their people, "Hey, I understand the problem. Here's what you ought to be doing." We need leaders. Men of understanding, what should we do? 1, you should realize God is in control. He is not nervous about the New World Order. He's going to sleep fine. Except you don't sleep. But we can sleep fine. You don't need to get nervous about the New World Order. We should be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. We need to wise up, folks. We need to be careful. That word careful means full of care. Be careful for nothing. Don't worry about what they're doing. You say, "They're bringing in Soviet troops." Yeah, great. Learn some Russian. Speak. Win them to the Lord. Pray for those in authority over us. We're God's children. Obey His orders. Preach the gospel. That's what the Christians ought to be doing. Be the salt of the earth. We're supposed to preserve. Get busy. Do your job. Use your influence. There's things you can do in government. We need some more government people that are godly. A lot of godly people don't want to run for government positions. Man, encourage some good people to get involved in political office. Teach the truth about creation. There's practical steps we can do, folks. And don't get distracted. We get distracted with houses and cars and cares of the world. You know the purpose of this thing right here? This is called a mobile. You put it over the crib and you wind it up. And the kid lays there and he goes, "Oh."
How many know what I'm talking about? The purpose of a mobile is to distract the kid. Right? That's what they're for. Satan is a master at distracting us. Average American watches 1,500 hours of TV a year. That's enough time to read your Bible 22 times. Now, I don't think you ought to sit around and read your Bible all day, but you ought to read it some. David said, I'll set no wicked thing before mine eyes. Do you put wicked things in front of your eyes? Proverbs chapter 28 says, for the transgression of the land, of a land, many are the princes thereof. Do you know why we have so many bureaucrats? We're wicked. I think we've got the leadership we deserve in this country. The solution is not at the ballot box. The solution is for Christians to get to the altar. Righteousness exalts a nation. Sin is a reproach to any people. The psalmist, in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, the Lord said to Solomon, if my people... See, the Lord doesn't care what the heathen do. He expects them to be heathen. He's worried about what his people do. See, we're strangers in this land. This world's not my home. And I've just made it a habit for years, every time I get in the shower, I stand there, look at the shower, and I start singing, this world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. And I think about Hitler and the Holocaust and the Jews going into the shower, and as they walked into those showers and looked at those shower heads, realizing that gases were going to come out and kill them. It's just my time to remember. Folks, you ought to have things that cause you to remember and pray. He said, if my people, that's us, which are called by my name, Christians, that's us. If you want to save America, here's how it's done. If my people, which are called by my name, shall vote Republican and store up survival foods and buy a machine gun, what's that? That ain't what it says, is it? If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, God said, I will hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. Only solution, folks, is right there. America can be spared, if that would happen. But preacher, I don't know how you see it here in Pennsylvania, but I travel all over. I don't see it happening. God would save our land if we would do our job, but we're not doing our job, and I don't think he's going to save our land. I think we're going to get his judgment instead. Little David brought the food down to his brothers. His oldest brother said, what are you doing down here, David? Go back and take care of those sheep. Little David started talking about going to fight Goliath. His big brother said, yeah, right. Go take care of the sheep, man. You're a kid. Get out of here. Little David said to his big brother, is there not a cause? Man, I like that attitude. Is there not a cause? Our job is to do what's right. Doesn't matter how big the enemy is. What's your cause? Man, I want to take the creation message and chop down the evolution tree. Instead of tearing the branches or leaves off, abortion, euthanasia, pornography, just cut the tree down. Go for the root. That's my cause. Is this your cause right here? An awful lot of Christians are distracted with a ball. They really are. Hey, did you know, if you're willing to spend $500, you can buy a real nice set of golf clubs. And then, if you're willing to practice thousands and thousands of hours, get the grip just right. See, this finger and thumb can make a V pointed toward this shoulder. This finger and thumb toward this shoulder. Lace your fingers or unlace either one. Get the grip just right. Knees slightly bent, shoulders curled. Club face perpendicular to the ball. Bend the right elbow first. As you bring it back, rotate the hips slightly. If you practice for thousands of hours, someday you might be able to knock a ball into a hole in the dirt. Have you stopped and thought about that? Folks, we have gone nuts with sports. I'm not against sports. But I'm telling you, we are distracted. And some of you know more about the starting five on some team than you do about the 12 disciples. And some of you can find the sports page quicker than you can find Hezekiah. Right? He that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver. Solomon ought to know. He had plenty of silver. You know, fellas that have lots of money, do you know what they want? More money. The people that have 50 pairs of shoes in their closet, do you know what they want? More shoes. The people that have a fast car, do you know what they want? Faster car. My son has a Suzuki Katana 600 motorcycle. 0 to the hospital in 2 seconds. Guess what he wants? A 750. If he had that for a while, then guess what he would want? A 1,000. And then after you can go 180 miles an hour, hey, you might as well get a 1500. They don't make Band-Aids big enough. Folks, you'll never be satisfied. Things in this world will not satisfy. The people that have a big house, you know what they want? Bigger house. People that got 50 pairs of or suits in their closet, you know what they want? More clothes. Nothing in this world will satisfy. You might as well figure it out. We should seek first those things. Seek those things which are above. We need to get some Christians busy setting their affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Because all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, it's of the world. And the world passes away. And all that stuff we've worked a lifetime for, to have that nice car, that big bank account, that beautiful yard, what if you knew for sure you were going to lose it all this year? I mean, just pretend Y2K is going to end it all, as we know, and you're going to end up in a prison camp in 10 months. Just suppose, I mean, what would you do different? You know what? If you were a disciple and you're out knocking on doors, soul winning, what would you tell the people? Excuse me, would you like to come be a Christian? You might get thrown to the lions. You might get, you know, crucified upside down. You might even get to be a torch in Nero's garden. What would you tell your potential converts? I just feel like something good is about to happen to you. Folks, Christianity is puny in this country. And the Chinese are praying for persecution to hit America. Chinese Christians are, because it'll strengthen the church so much. I think we need to listen for the trumpet. Coming soon. The Bible says the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Southern Baptists get to go first, but we're next. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Hey, keep listening for that trumpet, folks. And for heaven's sake, win souls. I don't know of anything more important to do right now. He that winneth souls is wise. Maybe you heard about the old country boy that signed up to fight the Yanks, you know. He went off to the battlefield, got his backpack, got his rifle, showed up at the battle, said, "Reporting for duty, sir." Sergeant said, "Son, we're glad you're here, man. I want you to guard this trench right here." He said, "Sarge, I didn't come to guard no trench. I come to fight Yanks." But he guarded the trench, and boy, he's marching back and forth, getting madder by the minute. Finally, he couldn't take it anymore. He jumped up out of the trench and ran screaming across no man's land and jumped right into the Yankee trench all by himself, a one-man rebel charge. The Yanks were stunned. That big old country boy jumped in the middle of the Yanks, picked one up, and boom, knocked him out, one punch. He's a country boy. He'd been toting hay. Man, he's hefty duty. He grabbed his prisoner, climbed up, and ran back to the Yankee trench, or to the rebel trench. He jumped in the rebel trench. All the rebs gathered around and said, "What is that?" He said, "That's a Yankee." He said, "Well, where'd you get him?" He said, "I got him over yonder." He said, "There's a whole bunch more over there." He said, "Y'all could have had one if and you'd have wanted one." Folks, Jesus is going to come set up his new world order. We're going to rule and reign with Christ for 1,000 years. Hey, if you went to heaven tonight, who would you have with you? I mean, what have you done for the Lord? Best thing some of you Sunday school teachers could do would be to quit. I mean, just admit it. You're a dud. You don't study your lesson. You're not exciting. You're boring. Just quit. There was a time when you loved those kids and you loved that class and you studied that lesson and you thought it was exciting and, man, those kids couldn't wait to come back. But you kind of lost that, didn't you? Remember how it used to be when you loved the Lord? And when you first got saved, just couldn't wait to read that Bible. Kind of lost it, didn't you? You know, an awful lot of preachers ought to quit. They would, except some of them don't know how to get a real job. That's why our president don't want to get out of the White House. Where would he live? Hillary's going to leave him, that's for sure. She can get money in cows. But folks, there's a lot of Christians that used to be seriously in love with God, but they lost it. Now they're more in love with that car, that house, that boat, that toy, those games, that computer. Doesn't matter. Something else replaced Jesus, didn't it? Just be honest. Folks, we need a revival. The Lord's going to come set up his world order. We win in the end. He's going to bruise Satan under your feet. We're going to win the battle. And he's going to fling him into the bottomless pit. I'm going to spit on him on the way by. That old dragon, Satan, the devil's going to be bound for 1,000 years. Yay, sick 'em, Jesus, go get him. And he's going to deceive the nations no more. But getting from here to there is going to be a little bump in the road, I'm afraid, folks. Saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus. Could happen here. Hope not, but it could. Better get ready to live for the Lord. I think tough times are coming. I hope we get out of here before it all hits, but Maybe we won't. So let's get busy and serve God. Why don't you say, God, I want to win somebody to you. I want to win souls. If you're involved in teaching others, Sunday school teacher, bus worker, pastor, check your heart. Still have that burning love that you used to? That love for Jesus? Still there? If not, come on down. Tell him you lost it and ask him to build a fire in you one more time. Let's all stand and bow our heads and close our eyes and let's pray. Heavenly Father, we sure don't know what the future holds, but we know that you hold the future. And Lord, we don't know what's coming. We don't need to know. We just need to hold your hand and do what you said. Lord, you see the past and the present and the future. You're not the least bit scared. Lord, this evolution theory has been used now for 6,000 years to deceive people. He wants them to think they get to be like God. Oh, Lord, raise up some Christians to teach the truth. Lord, raise up some pastors and some evangelists and some missionaries and some Sunday school teachers that'll just have a burning love for you in their heart, want to do what's right. Father, please, send a revival. Please, Lord, send a revival one more time. Start it with me, Lord. Please, give me a revival, Lord. I want to be clean. I want to be a soul winner. I want to reach more people this year than ever before. Please, Lord, help some Christians to quit worrying about that ball and start worrying about that neighbor. Help us, Father, to pray and to live a righteous life and to lead others to you. Lord, thank you so much for Pastor Auckland and this great church. Lord, I pray that you give him wisdom. Show him how they can reach into this community even more. Help them to never be content with what they're doing, to always look for ways to do more. Help them, Father, to reach out. And Father, for the Christians in this room that are wasting their life, would you please send a revival? There might be some here tonight that aren't even saved. If they die, they're going to hell. Lord, I don't want that. Help them get saved tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you. We hope you've enjoyed this video series on creation, evolution, and dinosaurs. Much more important, though, than knowing all the truth and facts about science is to know the truth about whether you're going to heaven or not. If you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, let me explain quickly what you need to do to go to heaven. The Bible says we're all sinners. We've all broken God's laws. We've disobeyed the Creator. We've done wicked things. We're sinners. Some are worse than others, at least in man's eyes, but we've all broken God's laws. And the Bible says you have to repent. The word repent means to turn. It actually means two things, to turn from your sin and to turn to God. God's looking for a change in your attitude where you say, Lord, I don't want to do wrong anymore. I'm sorry, I've offended you. I want to do right. And you turn from sin and you turn to God and say, God, would you please forgive me? Would you save me? The Bible says in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You need to admit you're a sinner. Number two, the Bible says in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. We deserve to die and go to hell because of our sin. But Jesus died for you. He loves you. He wants you to come to heaven. And anybody that will ask him for the free salvation, God will give you the gift of eternal life, it says in Romans 6:23. It's a free gift. And it says in Romans chapter 10 and verse 13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you would just call and say, Lord, I'm a sinner. Would you please forgive me? And ask him. He will give you that free gift of eternal life. Why don't you just pray with me right now and you could receive Christ as your Savior. There's no magic words. God's looking at your heart. But if you could say this and mean it, God would forgive you. Just say, dear Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. I've broken your laws. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Please apply your blood to my account. Forgive my sins and take me to heaven.